Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he thought his friend's story had ended at the funeral. Then one night, as his wife slept beside him, a message arrived that felt impossible to dismiss.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. And you know how this works. You share your real ghost stories with us. That's how it works. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 855-853-4802. Write it down at Real Ghost Stories Online. Support the show if you want by being a premium subscriber. You get the advance episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, and you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here today.
I am. How are things going?
You know, I've been pretty busy today.
Good.
It's been rainy, and my dog's made me proud. He hasn't, like, had a full-blown meltdown. Because it's been thundering today, and
he—that's a lot for him.
He is the worst dog I've ever seen with storms. So I already have him restocked. 4th of July is just a couple weeks away, so got him restocked with his anxiety medication.
Good.
But that's Tony's wedding, and so I had to find somebody to watch him. And I'm like, I can't put him in a kennel because he just would freak out being all by himself in a kennel. He's never done it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, everybody's going out for 4th of July. I couldn't find anybody who would be like, yes, I would be happy to stay inside and watch your dog as he freaks out. So my old roommate's like, you know what? I would love that. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So at least he's got a place to go where someone will be home with him.
Well, it's always, you know, and I know that I do this every single 4th of July, and it's coming back up, and this is my little, like, public service announcement on behalf of all dogs in the world. We give you 4th of July, and then on the next day, you no longer get to shoot fireworks.
Well, actually, in my neighborhood, they have a week before the 4th of July.
And I give it up. Okay,
they all right. Start
I know I'm not going to, you know, be able to stop the prior week. Everybody's excited and the kids are all shooting them. I did it. Everybody does it, right, for days before. The next day, no.
Here's the other thing about that. Like, my neighborhood, I kind of live in a little bit of a low-rent neighborhood. And what I don't understand is, like, they shoot off so many fireworks on July 4th. How do they have any left? It's like y'all spent thousands of dollars on this stuff.
Right.
Is there anything left to shoot off the next day? That's what I don't get.
And I don't understand. Like, I hear these fireworks that are going off, like, you know, right next door, right, you know, around my house and something. And I never hear anybody saying, oh, that was fun. Look at that. That's beautiful. Like, they're not out there talking. They're just out there in silence shooting off fireworks. And I think it's kind of creepy.
It's a little strange.
Why aren't you guys talking about how fun it is and, you know, having a good time? Everybody, it's 2:00 in the morning and you just hear fireworks going off. And I'm like, by yourself?
I had actually decided this year that I was going to load up my dog, find a hotel on the interstate in the middle of nowhere. You know, those ones that are just like, it's just there. You're like miles away from a city. There's like one like that.
You and a bunch of serial killers yeah. are going to stay at that place.
I was going to do that. I was going to load him up and take him for a 4th of July to the middle of nowhere. And then Tony decided he was going to get married on July 4th. Then I can't really say, I would love to come to your wedding, but my dog.
But, yeah.
You know, that's not cool. So, but I'm really happy I got it figured out. So
good.
I've already that warned my good. Friend. I'm like, you know, he's going to kind of have a meltdown. And as yeah. long as there's... And he's got a dog, too. So I thought maybe... But with, even with your dog, Benji never really was like, he seems to be handling this much better than I am. So I don't think Benji will do that with his dog, but you never know.
Yeah.
Well, we've got this story today that I find very interesting. Because you know how people can talk in their sleep, which right. to me does feel super creepy.
It is.
When somebody just starts talking in their sleep mm-hmm. and it's like, mm-hmm. and it could be gibberish, which mm-hmm. what is that? That's creepy. Or it well, could just be nonsensical.
Sometimes they're looking at you.
Yeah.
You know, with that weird blank eyes.
This is an interesting story about that. Here you go.
Yes. My name is Tony, and I live in Pennsylvania. The story I'm about to tell you actually took place less than 48 hours ago, so it's still fresh in my mind. A little backstory. I had spent some time in the service. I spent some time with the gentleman with me in the service, and... Unfortunately, he had seen some things and he had done some things. He confined them to me and we became really good friends even after I had left the service and he remained in the service. He got out and he was very troubled after he got out. He had a lot of PTSD and couldn't really find a way to cope with it. And, unfortunately, he did end up taking his own life, and it was very sad, very traumatic. I remember being at his funeral. It was a troubled time for everyone because no one expects that from a loved one. Anyway, just recently, my wife and I had become, well, now my wife, we're newlyweds, and I think that's what triggered this event to happen. We had just come back from spending some time on a vacation, and my wife had come upstairs and gone to bed before me. And when I had come up, I mean, you know when your spouse is dead asleep, I come into the room and start putting my phone and my wallet down and getting ready to call the day. And I happen to glance over, and my wife is sitting straight up in bed, turns and looks at me, and with the exact words says, "I'm so happy for you. Please tell Stephanie I love her and I would love some cookies." She sometimes does say weird things in her sleep, and most people really wouldn't think too much about it, but immediately it scared the life out of me. Because the gentleman I was in the service with, his wife's name was Stephanie, and she would always bake us cookies and send them to us wherever we were deployed, Iraq or Afghanistan. So we got a little taste from home, you know, because of his loved one would always send us these cookies, and her name was Stephanie. And this scared me tremendously, and I had walked over to the bathroom to get a drink and process what had just happened. There's no way in my mind that this could have been a coincidence, because it was perfect without skipping a beat. You know, wasn't like a stutter or anything like people might have if they were talking in their sleep or anything. This was absolutely perfect. And she looked at me dead straight in the eye, which I thought was strange. And then after she had said it, she just rolled over, went back to bed, and nothing. And I had talked to her about it the next morning, and she doesn't remember doing it. She doesn't remember having any bad dreams or anything. She did state that as she was falling asleep, she did feel like uncomfortable, not scared or that creepy feeling you get when you think someone's watching you. She just couldn't explain it. She just felt uncomfortable. And she had just chalk it up to, you know, the stress of getting married and, you know, we're purchasing a home. So she just thought it had something to do with that. So she didn't think much about it. And then this event happened, and I informed her about it. It was very different. It was very scary on my part. I myself am a skeptic. But, I mean, after that, you can't really be a skeptic after something like that happens to you. So, I'm looking at the situation from a different perspective, and I can't find another reason for it. My wife had never met, you know, this soldier I was with, or her wife, so they don't know each other's names or anything. And there's no way she could have known names or anything. So it's different. it's still fresh in my mind. So I'll be thinking about that for a few days. But I really enjoy the show, and thank you. Continue the great work.
Isn't that an interesting story?
Oh my gosh, that is really fascinating. Now, can you tell me somehow, what was it exactly she said? She said, I'm so happy for you.
In fact,
tell Stephanie, I love her.
Let me go back, because I think I looked at the time when he said that, because I thought I might go back here. I think it's right here.
Please tell Stephanie I love her and I would love some cookies.
Okay. That's what I was. I knew it was something about cookies. I couldn't remember exactly.
And it wouldn't be like,
I would love.
Like, number one, why would his wife, even if she knew she had heard him talk about Stephanie, heard him talk about cookies, even if she had heard that, why would she do that? Like, I'm going to pretend to be asleep and talking in my sleep.
I think just this idea of you go into the room, you see somebody laying there sound asleep, and, you know, you turn around, you're putting stuff up on the dresser, emptying your pants, you know, your pockets and stuff. And then you turn around and they're sitting straight up. Right there is a weird, creepy going from laying down to sitting straight up looking at you. And then to say something that is totally what the friend would have said, with information that she knew nothing about, but meant something to him, to both of them, the guys.
Yeah.
That's a message from beyond.
And if, you know, he was a skeptic and his friend wants to get a message through to him, how's he going to do it? This is a good way. This'll get his attention.
Yeah. And I, you know, now all of a sudden it's like every time your wife goes to sleep, like, you kind of have to look at her like, okay, I love you, babe. But that whole thing, you know, that was weird.
Oh my God. That's another message from another person who has passed away.
Yeah. Like, oh, goodness gracious. But it's a message from the grave.
I think so too.
Very powerful.
You know, this is his fiance or wife at the time. You know, I think that he would know her well enough to know she's got nothing to gain by faking that.
Right.
Even if she knew the information, what's the purpose of it?
Exactly. None.
For her to be awkwardly the next day going, trying to act like, oh, I don't know what that was all about, dear. I mean, there's no end game for her.
And I think the other thing that's really beautiful in this story is you really get a sense that the friend is okay. After all the trauma he suffered coming back and, you know, really struggling, that you get a sense it's all right. He's at peace now. And when he's saying stuff like, I would love some cookies and tell Stephanie I love her, that's like he's coming from a good place.
And you know what these men and women go through when they're deployed? I can't even wrap my brain around. And, you know, that's just something that people like us will never experience. And I just have such a deep appreciation for what they do.
You know, and the other thing in this story is, that really hit me is, I think if you have a very profound experience, paranormal experience, I think he's right. You can't be a skeptic after you have one of those.
No. No,
because it's
like, what was it? How did that happen? But it was also meant for him to hear. Mm-hmm. I hope that he reached out to Stephanie and shared that with her.
Yeah. You know, and I think You know, it kind of is like, you know, show me a skeptic and I'll show you someone who has never had that experience. Mm-hmm. Not truly. You might add something that was a little weird, you know, but I mean a truly somebody looked at you and told you something they couldn't have known. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
I just thought that was so interesting. I've never heard a story quite like that one.
God, that one got me.
Let's go to this story about paranormal investigations. Says, I wanted to share something that happened years ago when I was part of a paranormal investigative group here in Virginia. I was pretty new to it at the time. I'd always liked ghost stories and thought investigations sounded interesting, but I was definitely not one of those people running around convinced every noise was paranormal. One of the first overnight investigations I ever went on was at an old Civil War era hospital. Before we got there, everybody was talking about the history of the place. Wounded soldiers had been brought there by the train load. There had been disease outbreaks, and a lot of people died there in a pretty short period of time. By the time we arrived, I was expecting the place to feel gloomy and depressing. We spent most of the evening doing what investigators do, setting up cameras, carrying equipment around, checking rooms, sitting in the dark, waiting for something interesting to happen. There were a few strange noises during the night and a couple pieces of equipment that acted up, but nothing that really stood out. Sometime after midnight, people started slowing down. A few members of the team tried to get some sleep while others stayed up watching equipment. I spent a lot of the night just wandering around the building, and for whatever reason, I kept going upstairs. There was a small museum area up there with old displays and artifacts. It wasn't one of the spots people really talked about, and I don't remember anybody claiming it was especially active. Still, I'd go downstairs, walk around through another section of the building, maybe sit with somebody monitoring cameras for a while, then before long, I'd find myself back upstairs again. I probably walked through that area 20 times that night. A couple times, I noticed what smelled like perfume. It wasn't strong. I'd catch it for a second, and then it would be gone. I remember thinking it had to be one of the women on our team, but eventually I realized most of them had fallen asleep in another part of the building. There was a staircase nearby, and more than once I heard what sounded like somebody moving on it. Not really footsteps, more like clothing brushing against something. Every time I'd look over there, nobody was around. The weird thing was none of it bothered me. If anything, I felt more relaxed as the night went on. At one point, another investigator came by and asked me if I was ever planning to leave that floor. I hadn't even realized how much time I'd spent up there until he said something. Before I knew it, the sky was starting to get lighter outside and everyone was packing equipment away. Cases were getting loaded into vehicles and people were already talking about breakfast. I remember standing outside while everyone was getting ready to leave and realizing I really wasn't ready to go. One of the guys laughed and asked if I planned on moving in. I told him no, but honestly, I would have stayed another few hours if I could have. I've been on a lot of investigations since then. Some of them were in old houses, some in schools, some in hospitals. Most of the details have gotten fuzzy over the years, but that one never did. And it wasn't because of a photograph or an EVP or some amazing piece of evidence. I just remember how different it felt from what I expected. With everything that had happened there, I thought it would be the kind of place you'd want to get away from. Instead, it was the only investigation I can remember where packing up and leaving was the part I didn't like. I love listening to the show. I appreciate all of the stories from other people who believe there's more out there like me. That's from Jacob. You know, that's interesting because it's not like super over-the-top paranormal story at all, but it was that he was really drawn to that place.
I have a thought that was crossing
reincarnation.
Yeah, that was. I thought dang, that too. You just stole my thunder here. Here I was going to say something profound, and I just said what everybody's thinking.
Well, because everybody was like, that's why he's drawn to that place." But
I think so.
At the same time, I wonder too, because a Civil War era hospital could be a number of different buildings. It could have been someone's house. It could have actually been a hospital, but I don't think, you know, a lot of those battlefields, those places, they didn't just have hospitals built.
Right.
You know, they just mm-hmm. made do with people taking over somebody's house and saying, we're using this as a right. hospital, or taking over yeah. some buildings. So mm-hmm. I wonder, too, if it could have been a hospital like that where it had been something else.
That's possible.
And that, and maybe there was something else he was drawn to.
That's very possible. It just feels like, I don't feel like he was one of the soldiers that was in intense pain, because I think that would have been a whole different feeling. I think you're right. I think it's either like a prior to the hospital situation, or possibly maybe you were not at that hospital, but someone you knew was. And I don't, does this make any sense? Like, let's say your girlfriend was a nurse at the hospital and you were actually somewhere else, but you were drawn to her.
Or you were the nurse at the hospital. He could have been a woman in a previous life.
Could have been. I'm just saying that it might not have even been his spirit he was drawn to. Maybe he was, you know, I know I'm making a love story out of this, but maybe, you know, he was drawn to another person that he knew at the time that had been there.
It's reminding me of that movie with Christopher Reeves and Jane Seymour.
Yeah, Someplace in Time or something like that. You know,
whatever that was. Something along that.
Yeah. But I kind of have this feeling that maybe it wasn't even him. It was somebody he loved. You know, and that's where the comfort, like, oh my God, I've missed you.
And maybe feeling. It was that person had lived in that house prior to them taking it over and turning it
could
into
could have been
a hospital.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. But I just almost wonder if it wasn't his previous spirit that he was drawn to, but somebody else's previous spirit that he had a relationship somehow with. Your daughter, your son, your wife, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were there.
I find it so interesting that, you know, he's obviously in a very paranormally rich area in Virginia mm-hmm. and has probably been to some pretty interesting locations, but that's the one that really sticks with him because mm-hmm. he was so drawn to it.
That's why it makes me feel like it came from a previous life, but that was somebody there that was like calling to him mm-hmm. and kind of reconnecting in a comfortable way. Like, I still love you, letting you know. And you wouldn't even want to leave him. That's why that feeling of I don't want to leave comes in the next day, because you're leaving them again. I'd love to know if he ever went back, if that feeling still felt that way. And the other thing in this story is it was a room that had artifacts in it.
Yeah.
Could one of the artifacts in that room, because you know how those Civil War artifact things are, like on a battleground, that we found these things. Sometimes there are bullets that were in this thing or whatever, or, you know, a weapon or something. But sometimes they're personal artifacts that they found out, you know, digging. And was there a personal artifact of that person there?
Yeah.
That was part of it too. I'm just throwing out some ideas, but I'm with you. Somehow previous life, I feel like it's a connection to another person that you loved during that life. How's that?
Or it could have been he lived there or he worked mm-hmm. there. And
it could have been a direct him, but somehow I feel like he connected with somebody he cared deeply about.
Smelled the perfume.
And, you know, that was something else as he said that. I thought, if you're a paranormal investigator, do not wear perfume.
Well, and I don't think they do. Most of them don't. You know,
I would guess that would be like part of the rules of paranormal investigations. Like, you can't wear perfumes. Mm-hmm. You can't do things, you know, because that could just mess with stuff.
100%. So I don't know. You know? I find that interesting because it just, you know, especially someone like him who's done a lot of mm-hmm. investigations has probably heard some cool EVPs or gotten some great photos. But this is the one.
Here's the deal. A very simple story. But somebody out there listening today, take this concept that we're talking about and write a screenplay. You're going to make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, because Kathy and I don't have time.
We're busy, but if somebody would do it, like, it could be really good.
Could you? And if you do it, could you just put in parentheses based on an idea from Carol and Kathy?
That, you know.
Yeah. That would be great.
But I'm throwing this out there to the universe today.
Yeah. We're not even asking for money.
There's a good story here, a really good story. And like kind of like somewhere in time, but I think you could do a kind of a cool Civil War going back thing.
Let's do one more story.
This is Jonathan. I'm calling from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I had a ghost story for you that actually happened to me when I was about 16 years old. My grandfather died when I was 7. He died of a heart attack in his sleep peacefully. Well, fast forward a few years, we used to spend a lot of time in my grandmother's house, me and my cousins and my brothers. And I'm sitting there talking on the phone. At this point, I'm probably 15 years old. I'm sitting on the phone playing a Nintendo and just chatting away. And all of a sudden, I just hear the front door slam. And I don't think anything of it. I don't bother. I don't get up. Stuff like that. Oh, about a few minutes later, my grandmother comes in and she has my older brother, who was 17, underneath her arm, and he is just shivering. He's white as a ghost. He's crying, and she asked me, "Did you see anything?" And I was like, "No, I've been playing Nintendo. I didn't see anything." And it's like, "What's going on?" Well, she basically said that my brother saw my grandfather, who was dead, standing right in front of her bedroom, wearing his overalls from work. You know, he described him perfectly. Has glasses on. You know exactly where you're standing. He could see through him, and he freaked him out and he ran out of the house. And he had to be like, my grandma had to drag him back in. Well, I started living at my grandmother's house the next year so I could go to a certain school. And I was always into paranormal stuff. I read, like, Loch Ness, Bigfoot, UFOs, anything I could get my hands on that was odd or different and stuff like that. That was my stuff. But one night, I can't sleep, and I'm looking towards the bathroom where the light is. And as I'm looking, I see mist, like, coming in, and I'm, like, staring at it. Am I sleeping? Am I awake? And I'm just focusing on it. And because it looks like just fog just rolling into this certain area, like the foyer of the house. And I'm staring at it, and then like it starts to swirl. And when it starts to swirl, it starts to take shape. At this point, I'm locked on it. I can't stop staring at it. And it starts to take shape, and it forms literally legs. And at that moment in time, my brain just click, click, click. And I realized I was looking at the exact same spot that my brother saw my grandfather. And what I was seeing was most likely him forming. And it freaked me out. I buried my head, and I would not open my eyes until the next morning when my grandma shook me. But to this day, I know if I'd have looked and watched her a little bit longer, I would have seen him because it was just so surreal. But anyway, that's my story. Love the show. Thanks a lot.
So what do you think about that? Like, I could see why that would totally freak his brother out. And I also see why he thought he could have seen his grandfather.
Yeah, and do you think because it's in the exact same spot that they're seeing him? And I think Jonathan would have mentioned, yes, and this happened, you know, 5 more times or, you know, periodically while I stayed there. But he doesn't. It seemed to happen once to the brother and once to him on the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think it happens in the house more than that? I do. They both just happened to see it that time. And I think there's something to be said for you have to be on the right level, energy level to see things sometimes, to be able to access, you know, a paranormal vision. You could go around and not see it. Doesn't mean it's not there.
Or Grandpa is like, shit, I am scaring the crap out of my grandsons. Right? I've got to stop that around them.
Do you think that Grandpa is actually doing this? Or do you think this is like a residual thing?
I don't know.
I feel like if Grandpa was intentionally being there, I think he would try not to. I think there would be a feeling of, oh my God, I saw my grandpa. Like, scared, yes, but at the same time, you know, this, like, if I saw my dad, scared, yes, but I'd go, oh my God, I love you so much. You know, I mean, there'd be this weird, like, and somehow my heart would jump because I'd be happy to see him.
I don't think everyone's like that, though. I think I could see how people would react exactly like his brother did, because it would scare the shit out of you. And maybe when you die, like, grandpa didn't realize that he's doing that. Like, he just wanted to hang out and watch over him. He's like, crap.
That's what I'm wondering, that he doesn't know. Because somehow I think if grandpa was connecting and knowing he was coming back to try to connect with them, somehow there would be, you might be scared, but at the same time, there would be this weird, I love this person. So,
if you see the apparition of somebody who's recently passed, I think it would scare the crap out of you.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I like to think I would be like, oh, my heart is so touched. But in reality, I think I would be like, holy shit, you're not supposed to be here. Because I just had a dream like that recently with my friend Rick. And Tony's friend Rick, I had this dream where I could see him. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to tell everybody he's over there, but he's not supposed to be here. It was weird. Like, there he is. Mm-hmm. He's right there. Mm-hmm. And nobody could see him but me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very strange. It was like, this is wrong.
Wow.
But yet I can see him.
That's a really interesting dream, Carol.
Yeah.
I've had similar, where I can't get to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I've had that.
And I'll be like, I they're there, but I can't get to there. And then I'm like, oh, they're dead. Oh, that's right. They're gone, and then you realize that's why you can't, mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Somehow I don't think Grandpa is consciously haunting the house.
No, and that's why he just saw the misty stuff. Like, Grandpa's like, oh, dang it, I'm trying not to be an apparition. I'm trying so hard to get y'all some space.
I am starting to show up again, and that is not what I intended.
Not what I wanted.
You're right. It's scary, but I kind of just feel like sometimes he's just kind of appearing, but I don't think it's an intentional, I want to talk to you, or I'm trying to get a message to you, or it doesn't feel like that.
No, not like the other one where tell her I love her and I want some cookies. That's different. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. And if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. Just leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down. Submit it the old-fashioned way. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials if you become a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.